You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Alrighty, so that was Ontario Gothic, Foxes in Fiction. So thanks for that recommendation there. I'll be playing some more soon, but first I've got Nick from Current Joys on the line, so we're going to have a little chat with him, and yeah, I'm really excited about this. But first, hang on, let me just play some music. Also, hi, welcome Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. This is really cool. So you recently released a song probably about like a week ago today, was that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, Lullabies for the Lost.
To the day,
there we go, yeah. Yeah, I've been listening to it quite a lot, and yeah, I've been really enjoying it. It's been quite cool. I'd quite like to ask about, hang on, let me just play some music real quick so it's not dead on air. And there we go. Oh, that sounds lovely. I'd like to ask, because I'd noticed that you tend to use a lot of, I could be wrong here, but use a lot of like movies as like references to your music. Am I correct in saying that?
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I am guilty.
I love it. It's fantastic. I was wondering if there was any movies in particular that like kind of inspired this, either the single or this album. I noticed you had, your other song, your other single that was released a while ago, The Horses?
They shoot horses.
Thank you. They shoot horses.
You say they eat horses?
They eat horses. Maybe they do. that's a different movie.
They Shoot Horses is there's a movie from 1969 called They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
Mm.
And it's about these dance competitions they used to have in the 1920s or the early 1930s, late 1920s, like during the Great Depression, where people would do these marathon dance competitions. And I mean, marathon, they would dance for like months at a time. And basically it would be like you dance until you drop. And if you make it through the competition, you win money. And basically it's just this like scathing review of capitalism. Apparently they would show this movie in Russia as like anti-capitalist propaganda. It's kind of just like this big metaphor for capitalism. But I just like the title because the record has a bit of a, And that song specifically has a bit of like a country twang to it. It's like a waltz Americana. And I guess it's the phrase is to signify like, yeah, they put horses out of their misery. And that's pretty much the vibe that I was going for with the song. Like, they put wounded horses out of their misery, but they wouldn't do that for, people, obviously.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
The insinuation there.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a really interesting take on it. And yeah, I was also reading up about the film, and unrelated, I had some coworkers recommend me that film as well. So yeah, that's really, really fascinating insight into it. But going on from that kind of topic of misery, to put it straight, I suppose your album or your single so far have kind of been touching on themes of like vulnerability and kind of like very like introspective. Can you like share what inspired this particular song, at least Lullabies for the Lost?
Yeah, the album I wrote during 2020, like a pretty rough time for me mentally and spiritually, obviously for a lot of people, but it was the album was kind of written as a response to like a calming to my emotional turmoil, and so like Lullabies is probably the most on the nose of just like trying to write something that would soothe myself that would be soothing to my spirit and my soul in like a very emotionally tumultuous time. I was also listening to a lot of like country music at the time, which is very vulnerable and just kind of tells it how it is, you know.
It's really raw and emotionally charged in many ways. Yeah,
exactly.
I liked how you described this album, or I can't remember if it was a song at least, but how you described it's like having like a marathon, or like passing, like, you know, your drink bottles, you're like running on, trying to pick yourself up as you're going through like a really like kind of, you know, challenging event. But I liked how it's kind of like you said, it's very trying to be uplifting in a really difficult time for yourself, but like leaning on yourself when you're also not fully there as well. Yeah.
Handing yourself the Kool-Aid.
That's the one. The Kool-Aid. Yeah. We don't have Kool-Aid in New Zealand. We have Raro, but I suppose that's probably pretty similar.
Sugar water, you know.
Sugar water. Best thing.
I'm sure you got some forms of that.
Yeah. speaking of New Zealand, kind of but not really related, you came to Australia a while back in April, is that correct?
Yeah, so close, but so far.
So far. How was it?
Oh, it was amazing. I really wish I went to New Zealand too. I've heard nothing but amazing things about New Zealand, and I have some friends over there that tell me that I should absolutely play there. So I'm kind of bummed that I missed the New Zealand part of it. But Australia was amazing. You know, it's funny flying 15 hours to land in just like weirdo America. I guess America is the weirdo version of Australia. But, it just sort of, you know, we landed in Sydney, and Sydney just sort of feels like California where I live. And it's very disorienting to get off a plane after 15 hours. And it's just like, it's kind of like you're in the same place, except everyone's a lot nicer.
Yeah. You know? I've heard, I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but I've heard conspiracy theories about New Zealand, at least, where it's like people think that New Zealand is like a fake country where everyone is like actors here. You just hop on a plane, pretend like you've been taken off into another country, and you land at the same like place, and here we are. I just think that's quite funny that you're like halfway across the world, but also in the same space.
It's very disorienting, but I loved it. I really had a great time in Australia, and I hope to go back someday soon.
So your album is coming out in October, is that correct?
October 11th.
Write that in your calendars, folks. Are you doing anything exciting to celebrate the release of your new album?
I have a release show the day of at Pappy and Harriet's in Joshua Tree here.
Oh, crazy.
And that will be exciting. I was going to do like a movie screening that week of one of the film, to answer another one of your questions from earlier, but one of the films that really influenced this album was Terrence Malick's Days of Heaven.
Right.
It's just like the vibe of that movie I just had it on constantly as I was writing and recording, because it's just this very American West, like beautifully shot. That was really the mood of the album that I was trying to capture. Mm. So I'm doing a screening that here in LA, and probably just, I don't know, go out with some friends, celebrate in some way.
Fantastic. That sounds really lovely. And actually going back to like the country kind of Western like aesthetic, the album art cover, or at least for your single with the really cool trees. And also, I suppose, in your other single, California Rain, the music video for that is also really, like, quite, west, like, kind of western woodsy.
America.
Folky. Yeah, America folk. Yeah, yeah. I find this quite interesting. The sonically as well, this album was written, you said, in 2020. This was before you'd written your last album. Was it Love and Pop? Love and Pop. Yeah, which is quite a big jump from this. Yeah. Could you explain? Yeah. Could you explain the differentness?
Well, I think it's just like I really soak up what my influences, like when I wrote East My Love back in 2020, I was like a big Deadhead. I was listening to a lot of Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, very much in that world. And since then I've been very obsessed with like modern music and a lot of more contemporary influences, and just really interested in genre bending and the potential of contemporary music. I feel like more recently I've become much more experimental and risky, trying to push myself and push the medium forward in a way that I see other artists doing, that really inspires me.
How would that feel, I suppose, coming back to something that you'd written at like a different point in your life to now, I suppose your kind of perspective on the music itself would be quite different from, you know, even just like a few years ago?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel like this album, it's definitely like feels nostalgic to me now. And it feels like a different time in my life. And I'm really happy that it's finally coming out. It feels like it has been like 4 years since I started writing it. I guess it is a little strange, being in such a different, headspace, a very different headspace creatively, to kind of go back to these songs, which feel like from a different lifetime, really.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for calling in to the little old Tamaki Mikoto. Thank you so much for having a little chat with us. I really I've been really enjoying listening to your latest singles, and I'm gonna play Lullaby for the Lost up next. But I did ask you a question earlier. I just kind of threw it at you, because I'm playing some songs that are nostalgic for, and just any way, shape, or whatever. Do you have a song that kind of evokes nostalgia for you? Could be your own song, could be anything.
Oh man, that's so tough.
Very big question, of course.
Let's go with Bob Dylan's Oh Sister.
Great, I'll play that next. But thank you so much once again. I'll be playing Lullaby for the Lost, which was released a week ago today, and this album will be released October the 11th, so listen out for that, and let's have a listen to this beautiful song.